Just before we sing a final triumphant Easter song, I just want to pick up on what we shared together last week, what we've heard today, and what we're going on to explore in the weeks ahead. This isn't a full-blown sermon, so don't worry, because obviously time is getting on, and we've heard a very good word, thank you, from Sonia this morning, which I hope we'll hold on to as we go from here. You might have noticed one of the things that Sonia said was that each of us has an individual, a personal experience of Jesus, and likening us to a seed and a plant growing, taking different amount of time, unique in its own way. And when you look through the gospel records at the encounters that people had with the risen Jesus, they're all quite unique, quite different. I think that's probably one of the reasons why the gospel accounts don't quite tie up with one another in terms of how it was reported, because people's experiences of the risen Christ was different, and yet the same. So on the Emmaus Road, the two people walking along, disillusioned and heartbroken about what had happened, meet with Jesus. They don't recognize him at first, and we'll explore that in a future week. But then when they have seen him, they run back to Jerusalem, only to discover that he's appeared to Peter as well. Same reality, different place. But a unique experience that can be ours as well. The empty tomb, I think, is really a sign for unbelievers. For those that say, he didn't rise, well, hang on a minute, how do you explain the empty tomb? The experience was something that only Jesus' disciples had. Those who were able to see with the eyes of faith that he had risen from the dead. But the empty tomb demonstrated that he was alive again. And that's something that, for me, I've always been able to hold on to. And I'm grateful for that as someone who has lots of questions and is always thinking about things. We look back 2,000 years today and identify ourselves with the faith of those first disciples, the ones who saw Jesus crucified and who witnessed his resurrection and heard the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we did last Sunday. And we recognize his continued presence every time we break bread and drink wine together in the Lord's Supper, and we celebrate his resurrection life among us. But so far, so good. But let's be honest for a moment. When we sometimes look at shiny, happy people getting baptized, when we celebrate Easter, when we see the enthusiasm of the youngsters who shared their testimony last week and the young people who shared their experiences of Mizoram this week, do you ever feel sometimes that there's something missing in your life? If we're honest, encountering the risen Lord isn't always something we experience day by day. Back in 1984, before some of you were born, there was a media storm. As Sonia said, the media don't always present Christianity in a good light, but whenever there's controversy, you can be sure it's going to hit the tabloids and the news and all the rest of it. The storm surrounded the appointment of David Jenkins as the Bishop of Durham back in 1984, someone who was believed to hold unorthodox views, particularly about the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus and so on. Arguably, he was simply an academic theologian who asked academic theologian kind of questions, pushed into the media spotlight and misquoted left, right and centre, particularly by evangelical Christians, who regularly vilified him in their pulpits, which happened almost on a weekly basis in the church that Jill and I were part of at that time. The bishops of Durham since have been much more evangelical. Michael Turnbull, Tom Wright, Paul Butler, who's the current one, who actually worked with Scripture Union, and the other chap who was only there for 5 minutes. What was his name again? Justin Welby. I don't know what happened to him. A couple of years after this appointment, in an article in an evangelical magazine, a writer called John Allen said this: whatever we might say or think about the Bishop of Durham, referring to David Jenkins, he should at least be commended for bringing the resurrection into the forefront of the discussion and for challenging the naivety and lack of thinking in our conception of the central event of our faith. We should be aware that Christ's resurrection is more than just an event locked into past history. And that's actually what David Jenkins was trying to say. You can argue, he says, about the empty tomb and how it happened and all the rest of it. He said, but if you don't know the risen life of Christ today, what does it matter? Actually, that's what he was trying to say. And evangelical Christians have often tended to get very stuck in trying to prove the resurrection happened. I don't believe you can dispense with that. But neither should we leave it there. What does it mean for us now? A.W. Tozer wrote, We stand in our now and look back by faith to see the past filled with God. We look forward and see him inhabiting our future, but our now is uninhabited except for ourselves. In other words, we might look back at a life-changing encounter with Jesus some years ago. We might look forward to the time when we will see him face to face and be with him in eternity. But what about now? What about now? We believe that in Jesus Christ, God's kingdom, we touched on this a few weeks ago, his future rule and reign has broken into this present age, our now. That through his death, resurrection, ascension, and sending of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to live in the kingdom now. Can that be true? Could it be true for me? Or only for shiny, happy people who go to Mizoram and get baptized? Well, the risen Jesus came to bewildered and hurting disciples, and he met them where they were. And he wants us to encounter him wherever we are too. Thinking about some of those first disciples and how they encountered him. Crying in the cemetery because the one that you've loved is dead and gone. Hiding away behind locked doors, feeling confused and afraid because so much has changed. Doubting that the experiences others are talking about can be yours too. Trudging along an unimportant road to nowhere in particular, leaving your dashed hopes for the future behind. Going back to familiar routines of work and family, thinking your part in Jesus' mission is over. Or feeling ashamed because you failed to be the disciple you wanted to be. For all of those people, and I'm talking about the disciples, although you may have recognized yourself in some of those descriptions, for all of those people, they came to meet the risen Jesus, and we can too. It's possible to know an awful lot about Jesus, but miss out on a life-changing encounter with him. But the wonderful truth is that we too can walk with Jesus, not in quite the same way as those first witnesses to the resurrection did, but just as surely in the presence of the risen Lord. And just as he met with those first disciples, so he's able to meet with people, with you and me, today. And in these coming weeks, as we explore further, encountering more with Jesus and studying this book that many of us have got hold of, 40 Days with Jesus, our prayer is that we will discover the resurrection life of Christ at the very core of our being and our daily experience. When the Gospels came to be written, when the Gospel came to be proclaimed, it was the message that Jesus was alive that they went out with. That was the central message of their faith. That Jesus was Lord because God had raised him from the dead. And that all the powers of the world were not going to have the final word. Jesus is Lord. Let's stand.